Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, that's right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another crazy edition right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Willamos, the king of kings himself, the man that will one day, maybe one day, walk around the streets mask-free. That could happen soon. I am the one that, I am the hot rod. And on the phone line, I have the reigning, defending, undisputed, biggest crop walking on God green's earth. His name, ladies and gentlemen, is Sean Black.
Yeah. Yeah, it would also be nice if you actually let the people know what show this is. You know, this is Absolute Truth Show. You know, you just said we're on Blog Talk Radio. You didn't even mention that it's the Absolute Truth Show. Unless you are so confident in the people listening to the show that they already know what show it is. And if you do, thank you for joining in.
I doubt it. I sort of tuned it to us by mistake. You know, this is now like, Absolute the Joint. Oops, nope. It's absolutely true. It's an absolute truth that annoying guy, Sean Black, and that lovely hot rod. I was tuning for the hot rod, indeed.
Oh, yeah. I can see you've gotten back into the liquid courage. Yes, of course.
Oh, yeah. Folks, you know the number, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. It's been a very slow week of news lately. So forgive us, you know, if we have nothing to talk about tonight, right, Sean Black?
Yeah, it's been a real, real slow news week. Very uneventful in the United States and the world, you know? Hey, you know?
And the world, you know.
Gas prices went up somewhat.
I bet you that's the president's fault, as always. Inflation has gone up. You go to the supermarket. Perfect example, I went to the supermarket, I'm a family of four. I even didn't fill up the trunk of the car. I found over $200. If you ask me what I got, nothing. It seemed like nothing. You know. My wife and I we looked at the receipt like, you know, see we got double charge for anything. But everything's right there. I'm like, it is what it is, you know. But let's get right into it, ladies and gentlemen. As we were being sarcastic as usual, especially Sean Black, the biggest news right now is the crisis in Ukraine. I know Sean will give us a nice 20-minute long, boring speech about what's going on in Ukraine. Why are you giving your long, boring speech, Sean Black? Please explain to me why should the United States or other people care about what's going on in Ukraine?
Well, as I don't even have to go into too much in depth of what's going on. We all know what's going on in the Ukraine. We all know what Russia is trying to do. Basically, what it boils down to is Vladimir Putin was the president of Russia, prime minister, or wannabe king, is basically trying...
He's a dictator,
if you will. He's basically trying to resurrect the Soviet Union. That's basically what this looks like from all intents and purposes. And this war has been going on between Russia and the Ukraine for about 8 years now. They've been trying to get into the country, take back the country since the Ukraine has been an independent sovereign nation. And they've been trying to make sure that they stay that way. There's been since the movement of Russia going into the country and surrounding the country with well over 200,000 troops trying to get into the country, there are about 500,000 refugees, if you would like to call them that, that have been in the Ukraine that are fleeing to other countries that are countries that are native or that are connected to NATO. Now, we also know, and what a lot of people didn't realize, that there are actually Africans that have been in the Ukraine. And this was something that had just shown up on the news within the last couple of days, showing them fleeing the country as well. The reason why that there are Africans that are in the Ukraine is because that a lot of Africans go to the Ukraine because they have get a chance to learn how to become doctors. They have medical schooling mm-hmm. that is there that is affordable, so that they go to the Ukraine to train and learn to become doctors and nurses and surgeons. And that's part of them being there. So for those that are wondering, oh, what, did I just see black people in the Ukraine? Yes, you did. And now you know why. Now, to answer your question about why the United States should care about this, is that we know, well, most people that follow what's going on know that NATO and the country that are connected to NATO were basically formed to keep the old Soviet Union, which does not exist anymore, in check, to make sure that the Soviet Union uh-huh. didn't start invading the countries in the area and taking them over. That's one of the reasons why NATO exists. Now, if you are a United States citizen, outside of maybe having family members, because there are pockets in the United States that have Ukrainian immigrants that have immigrated from the Ukraine to the United States. I know there are places in New York and places in New Jersey, parts of certain other parts in the country. If you have family members there, you're worrying for obvious reasons. If you're not and you actually live in the United States, one of the things that you have to worry about are the auxiliary things that are important to you, gas prices, those kinds of things that are going up. A lot of those things are one of the reasons why you have to keep an eye on those kinds of things going. We know that that Putin, it continues to do this by trying to invade the Ukraine, and it has been in longstanding notion. We all know that he has delusions of grandeur of trying to become this great Soviet Russian empire and trying to hearken it back to the old Soviet Union. And this has gone back to when Stalin mm-hmm. was there, when they had czars in Russia. Everybody wanted to make sure that the Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union. And then Belarus and some of the other neighboring countries that are connected to Russia have been trying to get in and take over the Ukraine to become part of that particular group within the Soviet Union. And there have been so many different sanctions that have been hit by both the United States, Switzerland, hitting Russia's money, all of the things that we think would actually harm them. And that's one of the things that they're trying to do.
It hasn't. I'm sorry to cut you off, but it hasn't. Putin doesn't care. All this sanctions put against Russia, trying to hurt them money-wise, Putin is laughing at him because Putin is one of the richest men in the world right now.
Yes.
You know, he has access to billions and billions of dollars. So this
and he has his own personal wealth. Yes.
Yes. You know, so this is just a slap on the wrist. So it's showing right there that he doesn't care. So why do we even bother with this? You know?
Well,
I mean,
as
we
I said before. Yeah. The United States has sent troops as far as aid for the western part of the Ukraine. They're not going into the country, but they are providing those troops mostly for the bordering NATO countries that border or that are near to the Ukraine to give provide help for those bordering countries. We're hearing also other countries that are sending military aid to the Ukraine to help them fight. Now, one thing that Putin, I don't believe, really thought about was the fact that the Ukraine, they're actually putting up a pretty decent fight. You know, the whole premise is that Russia was going to go in and literally just wipe out the Ukraine, going into the country and taking it over. And they've occupied parts of the area, Crimea. They've taken over Chernobyl. They've gone to Kiev, which is the capital of the Ukraine. They're marching into Kiev. They haven't taken it over yet. But that's the main, that's like the end game for them. If they can take over the capital, they can pretty much take over pretty much the entire country. They are close. Yes, they are.
This is only five. This is only 5 days into the war so far. So is it just a scary situation? And do we see an end of this?
It's very scary.
I
think this is the misnomer that people have. I think most people that have been following this know, and anybody that has been following into the mindset of Putin knows that he has, as I said before, delusions of grandeur. I think that he has these aspirations of bringing back the old Soviet Union, which scared a lot of people because one of the things that people looked at was the Cold War and also the nuclear war.
Okay, we have a caller, 111. I think I know who this is. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. How are you? My name is Mike. How are you, 316?
Hey, Mike, long time no hear. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Yes. Long time no talk to you guys. First of all, you know, this is... we salute, this is incredible, but we salute the people's Ukraine, Democratic People's Republic of Ukraine. We salute to Zelensky for standing up to the bullies. And, you know, but we don't know how long they have chance to stand to the bullies, but we know that Poland has sent them, a special military aids. And France, same thing. We know United States sent them $350 million in aids. We don't know if they get it and how they get it and at what point it all affects the whole equation. And we know that Putin has already put the nuclear, his nuclear arms all in red alert outside the facilities. Many of it is already, we have photos of it and video of it is in Moscow highways. I mean, also we know that Putin said, we will send 500 nukes to Europe and United States of America very soon. And he's very pissed because the help he has received slow him down. If he doesn't win this Kiev soon, he is going to use the father of all bombs. Plus, he's going to use his nuclear response on the, because he said if anybody helps Ukraine, is going to get mother of all responses. What do you think, my friends?
John?
Go ahead,
Hot Rod. No, you go first. I have answered the text right now.
Okay. Basically, what I see happening is one of the things that we've seen with Putin is that he has made those kinds of, not to say threats per se, but to show the might of Russia by saying certain things happening and we want to do certain things and to kind of constantly remind people that they are a nuclear power. One of the things that we've also seen, we've seen that with North Korea, in that they try to show if they don't get their way, that's why they're constantly always doing nuclear tests to show what they, the might that they have. But what Russia is doing now is they're trying to put into action what they're saying by force. And I don't think what he looked at or counted on was the amount of unity within a lot of the world, and even more so, what I don't think he was counting on also was that his own people, the Russian people, do not want this to happen. So I believe that as a card for himself to show everybody, well, we still have nuclear arms. But at the same time, I don't think he was expecting to have as much consternation from not only other world powers, but the economy has been in the toilet. The Russian ruble has dropped literally to the value of less than an American penny. So for those that are looking
– I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, 50%
down. No, to your point, Sean,
went 50% down. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes.
No. To Sean's point, the protesters that's happening in Moscow and Russia now, yes, it's something new that Russia have never experienced before because people was afraid to speak up back then. Back then in Russia, you speak your mind, you get shot. Typical communist country. But still, it's not enough. It was only, I believe, 50,000, give or take, protesters, which is a huge number. But for a country like Russia, Sean Black, and Mike, I believe it should be millions of people have walked up and protest. I think that will show a great number. Because like you say, Sean, this is affecting their pockets as well. Right now, we don't want a war for the most part. It's Putin and his evil people who have the big egos who's having this war. What does war cause overall? Nothing. That's damage, deaths, and bombs away. You know.
Yes.
But
and it's sad to see on the news when you see the local and international news and you see the bombings and the explosions and you're seeing families being ripped apart from their children. Parents are now separated because they're going to Poland to be able to get some kind of refuge from what's going on. And the Ukrainian males age 18 to 60 are kind of forbidden to leave because they are now being recruited to defend their country. And this is something that the Ukrainian people are trying to do to make sure that they still have a country for themselves as a free country. And as I said before, the rest of the world is looking at this and there's complete, total condemnation. In the sports world, the IOC has literally banned Russia from competing in Olympic sports. We've seen FIFA has banned the Russian team from competing in not only World Cup qualifying, but potentially not in the World Cup. We saw the Russian Grand Prix in F1 racing. They are not even going to have the race there. There are drivers that were pulling out of it. Now they're not even going to have the race there. So there is solidarity and unity around the world and complete condemnation. And the other thing that's happening also is there is a huge bank account, banking systems called SWIFT, which is where a lot of the world gets its money and accounts for loans for certain things for governments. And that particular banking organization is now withdrawing Russia from being able to use that. So they can't even use that money for electronics within the country and maintenance and military and those kinds of things. So we're starting to see a lot of those sanctions ramping up. And as you said, Hot Rod, they need to do more. And I think one of the other things is there's a gas line that goes to St. Petersburg, which was being worked on. It's like a 750-mile-long gas line. That's been, for the most part, canceled as far as getting gas from there. So literally, because of Putin's actions, Russia has now become an island unto itself because of the doings of what Vladimir Putin is doing, trying to take the Ukraine. And I think that's part of what is going on now.
And to Mike, to your point, Sean Black, so the Fishman Fisher said the NHL has come out and condemned Russia as well. He wanted me to point that to you. But Mike, do you think this is a start of World War III coming, or just a simple war? It will end sooner than later.
Can I say the input on that World War III, please? Can I say on the World War III part? Yes, I strongly
go ahead.
This is a prelude to the World War III because the MAG and COG is formed and they're going to I mean, it's not only Ukraine. They are going after Israel. And Iran will attack Israel and with their forces. And Russia will also go through Ukraine and through Black Sea and Turkey and goes to Israel. And I strongly believe that Mag and Kag, already he's here, and we are going to witness the mother of all wars very soon. And it's very, even Joe Biden is not putting the nuclear, you know, forces into red alert at all. Just they say, hey, it's okay, it's if he did it.
That was my next question. No, that's my next question for you, Mike. Do you think America should be involved in this war, sending troops down there to fight Russia? But technically speaking, we are upset about this, but this is not really our type of war. Now, is it?
So do you want me to answer that? You know, this is very much, you know, is if you look at YouTube it, just say impassionate speech by Volodymyr Zelensky, you will see that he made like 2 months ago a nice statement, and he was saying, if it's really you guys want us to be part of, you know, European Union, then you guys make us right now. European Union right now, don't tell us that, oh, we are considering you, etc. So the way he was speaking, we got information that he was saying that this is a pretext to World War III. And he said they're using their country as a pretext for the World War III. And also I want you guys to go FSS, Food Spectrum Survival. Just put FSS and go to their YouTube and get the latest information there too. Lots of good information, my friends. Go ahead, sir.
Okay. Sean, anything else you'd like to add on?
I personally am not going to go toward that side yet. I think that as the days and weeks go on, I think we'll know as far as the tone of what's going on. I know that the Ukraine and Russia actually had talks earlier today to try to get some kind of a ceasefire, but they then went back to their own respective capitals. So I think diplomacy is really part of what is being attempted here. Are we past the whole diplomacy and talking process? I don't know. No. It looks like that may be the case, but I'm not going to be doom and gloom and say, well, you know, this is going to happen, et cetera. What I will say is I will give the mindset of this. It's the more and more that I am seeing coming out of the Ukraine, it seems like the Ukrainian people are actually putting up more of a fight than I think Russia bargained for as far as what's going on. Obviously, Russia has more troops. They have more armament. They have more troops. But it's not as much of a cakewalk as they thought it was going to be. And I think that the longer that this is, because I remember this being the talking point, that the longer that this goes in, Russia is going to lose more and more troops, and this is going to be just a bloody, bloody battle. And it's over, for a lot of people, over nothing. That's the problem.
That's the problem. Well, Mike,
and
thank
also
you so much for calling. I appreciate it.
For the Putin, because this war costs $20 billion a day.
Yes.
Yeah, but trust me, he will find a way to make that money back. Putin is not worried about the money at all. That's one thing I could guarantee on. He's not worrying about it. He doesn't care. He just wants a country to prove a point. It's for him, in my opinion, for him it's about ego. It's about trying to prove the world that he's right. He wants this little small country fact that it was part of the Soviet Union. That's what it really comes down to. And normally, that's what these wars are about. You know, it's not about right or wrong. It's about, man, my guns are bigger than your guns. So let me just take over you. You know, and who suffers in that? The people. Not the government. The people. The fathers who have to give up their families, as you say, Sean Black, on the trains while they go free for their lives, while they stay behind back for their country. There's so far, like, what, over 300 Ukrainians dead right now? Because of this?
I'm pretty sure it's much higher than that, but I think the initial yeah. thing from what I just saw was a little over 400 people so far. I'm sure it's yeah. probably okay. way more than that.
Well, Mike, once again, I appreciate the call. Feel free to call back again, Mike.
Yeah, sure. Thank you so much. God bless you all.
Yes, thank you.
All right. Thank you. You too, man.
Bye-bye.
And one more point I'd like to add on to you, Sean Black, before I move on to the next topic, about the Ukraine, of course, there always has to be racism involved. But God forbid, we have a topic, Sean Black, without racism, you know, or stereotypes, you know.
Of course.
That would not be us. There are videos about, as you mentioned, the Africans in Ukraine, medical students, and there have been videos on social media about how the Ukrainians, this is one of those things like, you know, what goes around comes around type of thing, how, yes, the world is upset about what's going on with Russia and Ukraine, but the Ukrainians are not allowing black people or Africans on the train in the country. They're keeping them behind. You see videos of them not being pushed off the train by by Ukraine people. You have see guns pointed at them. They cannot flee the country. So basically they have to stay behind for whatever reason. Either they want the Africans to stay and fight with them, or you know when the women and children go first, that only Ukraine women and children go on the train, not the African people. So of course black people right now are like, you know what? Some people are saying, screw Ukraine. You know, this is their war. You look how they treat the black people. Why should I care for them if they're treating my people, my brothers and sisters, like crap? Sean Black, what do you have to say about that?
I saw that video a couple days ago, and I remember, I think you sent me the link to it also after you had seen it, and it was like, oh, that's really crazy. Knowing that racism goes deep everywhere, and I think that's kind of the mindset. And especially if you are in America and you see that, the mindset is, well, once again, dark-skinned people are going to get the shaft, and here we go again with a lot of these kinds of things going on. Everybody right now, I think, needs to realize that overall, between what we're seeing there and what we're seeing overall with what's going on in the Ukraine, irregardless, first, last, racism is going to be everywhere. At the same time, the Ukrainian people and people that are there deserve to be sheltered and safe, whether they are native to Ukraine or if they are like those African people that were there that I had explained earlier. A lot of them are over there because they are training to become doctors. That needs to be straightened out as soon as possible. It's not a good look at all. So.
No, it sounds like a no-win situation. Like, you want to,
yes.
You understand there's a situation going on over there. It's not right. But at the same time, two wrongs does not make a right. That's
no.
The problem.
And the mindset and is like, always going to be, how many wars are the United States going to interject themselves into? Now, look at all of the nonsense that has happened since the United States pulled out of Afghanistan. That was a 20-year war. The last thing that this country wants are any more boots on the ground in another war. And I think the mindset that a lot of people have always had, and I've heard this from a lot of other people on different talk shows and on different news programs, is that if a country is sovereign and independent, it should be up to those people to defend their land from intruders. the biggest fear that Putin has had, the biggest fear that Putin has had was the Ukraine joining NATO. That's one of the things that they did not want to have happen. And I think that potentially scares Putin to no end. So we'll see where that goes from here.
True, but once again, is black people, African people getting mistreated? There's a war going on. There's a pandemic going on. There's so much stuff going on. Gas prices are going crazy. There's a lot going on. Once again, Sean Black, with all these problems that's happening, I know you just answered the question, but I have to ask it again. Do America should care about this war that have to do with us, but not really have to do with us, you know?
Yeah.
America is the type of country we stick our nose in everybody's business, and there's always been a problem. But we have our own problem in this country. And tomorrow, your president, you can't remember Biden, will give a speech, you know, to the U.N., I believe, or the State of the Union.
The State of the Union address tomorrow.
Okay, see, I'm telling like Biden. Biden gives me the disease now. I can't remember anything anymore. But, and with this speech tomorrow, he has addressed this, addressed the gas prices, because once again, it cracks me up how everybody has to blame some, like the government, for higher gas prices. You know, it's Biden's fault. You know, prices have went up. I'm like, really? Like, Biden went to the, you know, switch and push the button and raise up the gas prices or the inflation. He's like, remember when Trump prices went up? No one did not blame Trump in that time, right?
Yes. It's always been the political game. Whoever is in charge, it seems to be the opposite party's job to rail on whoever is in office. Now, what we know is that inflation happens. We also know that a lot of other factors factor in. But for those that think that we're going to run out of oil, we know the United States has a stockpile of their own oils and oil reserves. So that being the case, I don't think anybody has to worry about, like, there was back in the 70s a huge oil crisis where, like, gas was really expensive.
Really expensive.
Remember back in the 90s and early 2000s, especially after 9/11, gas prices shot right up. So this is probably going to be one of those cycles where gas may go up and oil prices may go up, but I don't think it's going to get to the point where you're going to start seeing $7 and $8 a gallon of gas. I mean, I don't think that's going to be the case.
And someone who's on the line right now, he's full of gas. Well, he's full of cheap gas, and he thinks a lot. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you K-Dog. K-Dog, anything you'd like to add on?
Good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening, good evening. Oh, boy, yeah, you crazy world we live in. This is, we're living in a crazy period now, right now. I mean, okay, still battling a pandemic, a pending war going on, and gas prices and inflation. I mean, it's just crazy. This craziness going on, man. It's insane.
So in your opinion, do you think America should be involved in this type of war?
America shouldn't be involved in this type of war, but I will say that America could get involved. Why? Because of American interests. Remember that. And, of course, with the sanctions that they're putting up against Russia and Vladimir Putin, he's going to be pretty pissed off pretty soon. And he might try to pull something else, whether it's an attack on an American embassy or do something else. We just don't know. But I get a feeling America might have to get involved somehow, some way, because, you know, whenever these things happen, America will find its way to get involved. Especially when it comes to American interests.
Okay, well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. This is is this another crazy situation that we probably got?
No, it is.
Huh?
It's insane.
Now, onto another crazy situation. I know Sean was so happy about this that the CDC had loosened the guidelines again. Sooner or later, they're going to raise it back up again. But, Sean, you don't have to wear your mask anymore for the most part. And in New York, the governor in our New York has lifted the mask mandate for schools, for students now. So my kids could go to school next week without a mask now. Now, Sean,
heaven help us all.
White call? Yeah. If there's yes, cases are going down, the vaccinations are going up. Do you think this is the right call right now, or it's premature, or you know what? It is what it is. Oh, screw it.
I think the government is going a little bit they want to go based on the science, but right now it seems like they're going because of the lowering cases of what we've been seeing around the country with the Omicron variant of coronavirus.
We've been there, done that to the science and everything.
Yes.
And we went by the low cases, and look what happened to us.
And that's where I was headed. We've gone from epidemic to pandemic, and now everybody is trying to get into the endemic phase. Endemic meaning that the virus is still around, but it's in, like, low pockets, kind of the way the flu is now. Because we remember, we've talked about this because of what's going on now, and have equated it to what happened with the Spanish flu in the early 1900s, where it was a 2 to 3 year run of people dying because of the flu, and then it had its pockets up and down, and then eventually it became so lessened that people were not dying as much, and it wasn't as infectious. I think that what we're seeing now are like California, New York, Florida, other places around the nation that are trying to now get ahead of this, that we're seeing I believe it was a 98% drop in cases from this time a month ago. And deaths are now on the decline. Hospitalizations are dropping. We're actually starting to see nationwide, where remember where we would see governors around the nation doing their pandemic updates. They would have a daily press conferences. You're not seeing those kinds of daily press conferences as much, because it seems like for now we're on the better end of this particular surge. But as I'm saying now, particular surge, this is February starting in March tomorrow. We are not near a holiday per se. We're not in the summer.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day. That's
Easter,
April. You've got April.
No,
you've
March.
Got
that's
May.
Next month.
May. So you've got all of these different events where we usually would have big gatherings. You know, March, like I said before, you've got March. You've got St. Patrick's Day, that one day. And then you've got a couple of holidays at Easter and April. But what I'm saying is you don't have those big
– And you got spring break.
Yeah.
And you got spring break along with Easter.
Yes.
So they're all coming up soon. So
yes. And the issue is now it's not as much – we have more people vaccinated. We have more people that want to wear masks until they can see that a lot of these things are under control. But let's also be honest. None of us want to be wearing masks all day at certain areas and certain times. People want to go outside and enjoy quote-unquote fresh air. You know, I put quote-unquote because this is the world that we live in right now, and the world is probably about as filthy as a New York City subway.
Oh, man.
What I am going to say is looking right now at how the world is trying to get ahead of this particular spike, now that we're on the back end, there are still other countries that are being riddled by coronavirus. I know Greece is still being hammered by coronavirus. England has just gotten over another spike. Japan, China, there are still places around the world, and usually you can tell what's happening in other countries tends to happen here in the United States.
Exactly, because, Sean, pardon for interrupting, let's not forget also, we live in a very big tourist place, a place that attracts more tourists. Let me just say it like that. We live right here in New York City. And remember where we were 2 years ago in New York City when it took a tourist to bring this thing in.
Yeah. Yes,
remember
indeed.
That.
And before I give it to this guy, I changed his name now. In WWE wrestling, there's a wrestler called Triple H. For now on, I will call Brother B the Triple B because he is a bigot, Brother B. So Triple B, you're on the air. Thank you for joining in. And what's your take?
What's up, brother?
Hey,
what? What's up, brother?
You call yourself?
Yeah, the salutations,
brother,
everyone.
Triple B.
Whatever. Greetings and salutations, everyone.
Greetings and salutations.
Yeah.
So basically, listen, Brother B.
Or as the Jamaicans would call you, Big Manatok.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Lord.
Yes. Yeah. Or, they call you, in Creole, they say, Gwufre.
You're going to have to write that down.
Oh.
Oh, that means Big Brother.
But listen, it's all about money, man. It's all about money. Warm weather going to be coming soon. They got to get the people. We need to get things ready. They need money. Mm-hmm. It's all about getting the cruise ships running, get the tourists back. You know, you got to get people comfortable again, you know, and in order to come out and spend money. So it's like you start getting rid of the restrictions. You start, you know, letting your guards down, and then everybody starts coming out. And, you know, things seem like it's going back to normal until there's another spike. That's all. Then they just put things back in place.
It's only a matter of and it's only a matter of time because, like you said, the tourists. Remember, fellas. What did I say before? We live in the biggest tourist hub. Everyone wants to come to New York. Everyone wants to come out here. They want to see the city. They want to see the Broadway shows. They want to go here. They want to go there. Yeah. So of course they're gonna, you know, we need to raise some money. So you know what? Take off your mask. Don't worry about it. Come on.
I mean, me personally, I don't care. I'm still wearing my mask in certain places.
Yeah, same here.
Like, I'm not just abandoning the whole mask thing just like that. I'm not going to lie. And this is no disrespect to people who ride the train every day, because I used to be one of them. But I just recently got on the train, and I see why I go hard to not ride it. Because as soon as I got on the train car, there's this homeless dude laid out. Everybody's on one side of the car. Everybody's crunched in the corner. It smells muggy and funky. And I got a mask. And I was like,
bro,
that's a huge
problem going on.
It felt like I just, like, inhaled. I had a mask on, but I felt like I inhaled the virus or the cooties or something. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yes. God damn.
And is it an ongoing everyday problem in New York City?
It is.
And to you guys' point,
Rod,
to you guys' point,
Sean,
go ahead,
Brother B. It is a serious problem. I'm glad you brought it up because there's been a rash of things going on the trains, and not all. They say that they're checking the trains, but how come some of the trains? You walk in there and you still see two or three homeless people laying down. And I'm not being mean about the homeless situation, but it is a problem.
Yeah, indeed. And to you guys' point, the problem with really why this could be premature is when the cases go up again and we go crazy, don't be upset that we're going to need a 4th, 5th, 6th booster shot because of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that's going to happen. You know, why we got to get another booster shot? Well, there's a new variant going on called Sean Cron. Who knows? Or Brother B Cron. Or K-Dog Cron. Who knows? But Sean Black, real quick about this topic. We did talk about Kyrie Irving many times on the show. And I asked him last week because Kyrie Irving plays the other night. And Milwaukee Bucks, and it was a great game. And Kyrie Irving scored his highest 36 of the season. And I asked Sean Black, because there was a big debate about this. With everything that's going on in the city now, and New York, he cannot play in New York still because of the vaccine mandate. Do you think they should let Kyrie Irving play now since everything's getting loosened up, being uplifted right now, or keep the, or he should not play?
Well, if they change the, if they drop the mask mandate, then they really have no choice. But if the mandate is still in, then no. And the reason why is because, irregardless of how safe he may be, he's still putting his teammates at risk, irregardless of what people think.
Mm-hmm.
If he, I have no problem with his mind. If in his mind he feels for himself that he doesn't want to get the vaccine, he's dug in with that for himself. That's how he feels, and I'm sure there are plenty of other people, other players in the NBA and other sports leagues that think that way. Okay, fine. But as long as you follow the rules that are set, then you follow the rules to the T to make sure that you don't get yourself sick, you don't get your teammates sick, or anyone else that's sick. Because remember, you got a lot of teammates, older coaches, the owners, GMs, that they may not be athletes, but they are older people. We know the players are in their 20s and 30s. We have a lot of coaches that are in their 60s and 70s. You don't want to pass that along, even if they are vaccinated, to give them that chance that something happens and you bring that into the team and you pass along the COVID virus towards a lot of those players. That's one thing.
I understand that. I understand that statement, but there's a problem with that statement because, once again,
right,
everything else, there's too many loopholes because Kyrie Irving, we say it's true, but what about the unvaccinated players that can play in New York City? Like, for example, I'm going to say his name out, Chris Paul. Let's say he comes to play. He's unvaccinated, but he's allowed to play on this in Brooklyn. Kyrie's unvaccinated, but he cannot play in Brooklyn. You see, there's a problem there with the loophole. So you have unvaccinated players still playing, not with
right,
the team, but on the same court with vaccinated players. Well, you're saying that Kyrie Irving, who's not vaccinated as well, can play? You see, there's
too
many loopholes, and there's a problem there.
And that's the problem where you have different states and different cities and municipalities that have their own rules as to how they want to tackle having a mandate for the actual for indoor businesses. So the mindset is in New York, it's that mask mandate where you have an indoor business before the pandemic really started to ramp up, when they started coming up with these to try to tamp down on the infection rates. This was something that they passed to make sure that if you were having an indoor business of a certain number of people, that they had to have masks or they couldn't run the business. And this is something that is happening here. Now, true, this is the Brooklyn Nets are a, for the most part, a private-run business, but the building is run by the city and the state, which falls under that mandate.
Right.
So if you don't follow the mandate, you can't play under those rules at home until you get vaccinated. And that's something that, as from what we've seen, unless the mandate is dropped, isn't going to change.
I want to backtrack on a topic here, but I'd rather be on. Brother B, I know you don't care about the Russia thing and all that stuff in Ukraine, but how do you feel about the videos that you've seen of the Africans being pushed away from the train station or being left behind at train stations and all that stuff? And should black people care about Ukraine and see the way they've been treating the African people over there?
I mean, I think it's being sensationalized in the media. You know, I saw the videos. To be honest with you, I didn't do too much reading on it because I just look at it as kind of like some propaganda, because they could have did that to anybody. They could have been doing that to whoever. But listen, we can say whatever we want to say. You're in their country. So they see it as their people first. Anybody's going to see it that way when you're in their country. Like, and that's just that. And I don't think there's a racism thing of it. I'm just going to say that you got a lot of scared people. Nobody wants to die over some BS war from some small man or this dictator. Nobody wants to deal with that. So, you know, I'm not going to look at it like that. I don't think it was a racist thing. I think it was just, this is like, yo, our people first. You guys can, you know, you're in our space. We leave
and
first.
It's kind of tough to actually, I think it's also kind of tough to look at a humanitarian racist slant in an area considering that the country is being bombed into oblivion by an invading country. So I think if you're looking for people that are looking for a fight there, it could be there to be looked at. I just don't think that this right now, based on what's going on, is getting the attention that people would probably think it is. And in the sense that you're talking about, is looking at as a propaganda point. For those that don't realize this, those that are talking on the opposite side of the aisle, on the opposite side of the Democratic side, there are a lot of talking heads that are actually on the side of Putin that I've been listening and hearing about in the last couple of days, who have been looking at Putin as some sort of, like, oh, he's showing strength and he's showing
muscle.
You know, and I can't, like,
he's
really?
Showing muscle. Yeah.
And I'm
there's
like,
a lot of them
know,
that are siding with him. A lot.
But what is
so,
he showing muscle on? What is he showing, like, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
that
I mean,
he's
I'm
showing a strong arm
by
bombing, because he's gonna take charge
people.
Because right, bomb.
Well,
that's not,
okay.
That's
okay.
How he's dictating.
So
wait
a minute. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. So they can back him for doing that, but when Saddam was doing it, it was a problem.
Oh yeah.
See,
because
at least
you know
at
what
least,
it is.
At least the you know the country wasn't destabilized. Because that's what they did. They went in and destabilized the country by removing Saddam, accusing him of doing X, Y, and Z to his own people, and then turn around, you have Al-Qaeda, whoever, everybody else that popped up after that. All these threats popped up after they removed him. But this guy is doing the same thing, and they're hailing him as some type of hero. Wow.
Of course, because
we
know
need
what it is.
Somebody,
it's
yo, Sean Black, let's go dig up Reagan. Let's go bring him back. Let Reagan take care of this.
Well, you know what? Not
just
know
a couple of gentlemen say what, in it and call it a day.
Yeah, people could say what they want about this whole thing, but it's like they're looking at Putin like, yeah, go ahead, do it. Because you know what? Putin is acting like the ex-boyfriend that's trying to get the girl that left him back. He's the bitter ex-boyfriend. Because, you know, since they broke away from Russia in 930 years, it's making him mad that he can't control them.
Yeah, but my whole thing is, where did he come off all these years later doing this? Like,
you
got to
remember
how to do this.
Putin is a former KGB agent. Remember that.
Exactly.
He is the mindset of the former Soviet Union, and people from that era that were in that regime that served under that mindset would love nothing better than to see the return of the Soviet Union and the Soviet power and the Cold War that was around, where there were walls everywhere and nobody could talk and everything was secretive and everything.
Exactly.
This is the era that Putin wants to go back to. And you can see all of everything that he's doing is nothing more than steps in that direction. And that's literally what he's doing. And he's using his muscle and his might to try to impose that on the Ukraine.
But that's a little bit harder now than it was back then. Back then,
yes,
people with different mindset and different technology now, you know, to do something like that. You can't shut the people up that long, you know, back then.
And the difference also is that this is also being played out, not only on the news, social media, because remember, Think of all of the things that Russia has been accused of or has been shown to have done over the last few years. The Russian hack with Facebook as far as influencing the election and helping former President Trump trying to get into the White House. That's already been proven that they tried to influence that. One of the spy, I believe it was a reporter that was Russian that was talking about the atrocities of what was going on in Russia, and that person was poisoned in the hospital, trying to poison him in the hospital. All of these things that have happened that have come out of Russia over the last few years shows that things that have happened from the Soviet Union have been shown either on the news or have been talked about through governments, and et cetera, trying to show what Putin is basically trying to do. He's showing that at all costs he will try to do what he can to get what he wants. And what it seems like he wants is the return of the Soviet Union.
That's what he desires. I mean, what do you expect from a former KGB?
But for what purpose? Just because he feels nostalgic? Like, what
ego. Yeah. I said before, it's ego. Just to prove the world that he could do it. That's it. What do you gain from it? By killing people, destroying land. You're destroying land right now.
And remember, men, women, and children are in danger.
Just remember, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. If you go by that mindset and you are of that mind that you want to take over this country, who's to say that now that they've gotten, because remember, Belarus is part of with Russia, as a partner with Russia, who's to say that after they go after the Ukraine, that Poland is it next? Or next to Poland, they go after other surrounding countries.
And that's what's going to start a world war. I could see a world war starting with all of that. It's going to bring it. It's going to bring the. In the famous words, the public enemy, bring the noise.
Okay, with 2 minutes left, Brother B, tomorrow night on Blog Talk Radio with Emmanuel, you have a special show to do with mental illness, I believe, or something else.
Yeah, I have a guest tomorrow, a special guest tomorrow night, Ms. Sherri Ann Best. She's a trauma and recovery therapist and specialist, and we're going to be talking about mental health because, you know, it's not something talked about when it comes to the Black community as compared to other communities, and it's something to be taken serious, especially with all the things that's going on nowadays, and especially after the pandemic, you know.
Yeah,
so,
people are going to, people's minds are messed up.
Well, after the pandemic, this pandemic's not going away. This is definitely
away anytime.
And this is something that, how can I say this? This is a life-changing experience for everybody, you know. So this mental health, high skyrocketing has not been the word. It's like went straight to the moon overall, especially in the Black community. And you could see it.
Yeah.
If you took the train for the first time, Brother B, and you saw all those homeless people, and this is your first time, imagine if K-Dog and I would ride these trains every day.
Oh, man.
I used to see it. I mean, like I said, when I used to ride the train a lot, I used to see it. But then when the pandemic happened, a lot of them went underground. And then when people started coming back, they're saying, hey, you got to get out of the station. But it's like they're still there now. And then you got an uptick in crime. You know, I mean, like I said, it's just...
It's a lot.
You know, it's
a
lot. But then there's other things, too, because there's a lot of suicide going on now with young Black men, with Black men, and with, you know, our youth. And it's like, yo, we really need to talk about it because we don't.
Suicide is serious. It's really bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Well, on that note, tune in tomorrow night to Brother B and Big Red to the menu right here on Blog Talk Radio at 9 o'clock. K Dog, Sean Black, and the Triple B, indeed. Guys, thank you so much. Stay safe. Stay out of trouble. And don't forget to wear your mask again. Maybe.
Of course.
I don't know.
Stay safe.
Maybe.
Yeah,
think about that.
I keep my mask on. keep my mask on, even in the shower.
Oh, well.
All right, y'all.
So whatever we do, don't cough, okay, guys? Good night.
Yeah, good night.
Peace out. Of course,
peace out, guys.
Oh, my goodness.